Yes, Public Media.
Good afternoon, everyone, and welcome to The Exchange. This is Cheryl Castile. My guests in the studio today, as their name implies, have doubled since the last time they were here. When I had members of Double Wide on before, we had Matt Thornton and Papa Puff Nizat. Today we have doubled the number and we're joined by the full band. So I'm going to say from left to right, my left, we have Shannon May, Matt Thornton, Papa Puff Nizat, and Justin Lewis. So welcome, you guys.
Hello.
Thanks for having us.
Yeah, it's a pleasure. When you two first came on, I'm going to direct this to Matt and Papa to you for right now.
Okay.
But the last time you were on, you had yet to play a gig as Double Wide. You played a lot of gigs, but as that band.
Right.
Yeah. But the two of you, your history goes back how many years?
Oh, 15 years, I guess, now.
Close to that.
Yeah, close to 15 years.
15. And were you met in Colorado, was that?
Yeah, we did.
We met in Colorado.
And the band... You played in more than one band out there together?
We Double Wide's kind of an evolution of Matt's music. We started in a band called the Bodhisattva Band, which was the Bodhi Band for short.
And that's a good name for on Colorado too, the Bodhi Band. I mean, it fits.
That evolved into a band called Motorhome.
Okay.
And this has now evolved into the Double Wide.
Was there something like Matt Thornton and the Thoroughbreds? Oh, that's what it was.
And
yeah,
that's what I was going to call this for a while, but then it was like, it was too like Zydeco-y kind of sounding.
Okay.
When I got to here.
And then since you did have, what was the one you said right before?
Motorhome.
This kind of fits.
Well, we needed something just quite redneck enough to be the right name, and Double Wide seems to be fitting of our music and our style.
Yeah. I'm curious, Papa, in the bands that you and Matt played in back in California.
Colorado. We have played California, though.
Yeah, a number of times.
A couple of times.
But was it your band, or were you two in bands together? Or was it always Matt's band?
It was always kind of my band. There was two songwriters in the band.
Okay.
And that kind of grew to where each of us were kind of doing different kind of things. And that's what was so exciting to me to get this record out, the Double Wide. And it was when I first moved here to Louisiana, which was about 2.5 years ago, I started playing. Dave and I just started recording some stuff.
Moved here to play music with him, right?
Yeah.
I mean, that was the main
goal.
Yeah, okay.
And so we started just recording some songs, and it was the first time I actually heard my songs, all of them, like without another songwriter's influence. There was like a cohesiveness that I was like, oh, this is actually really cool. You know, there was another songwriter there let's put his song here or let's put his song here, you know? And so this is the first time where it was just all my songs. And I was like, wow, it actually worked, you know?
This is what you probably wanted to hear.
Yeah, right.
You know, Papa, you talked before we got on air about you don't write songs, but do you assist in arrangement as you're recording? Do ideas come to you for?
Yeah. I mean, I look back at Matt Thornton as a 19-year-old when I met him. Which is so wild to think he's 36 or 7 or whatever.
We've been
together a long time.
That's a great history, yeah.
And, I think I've influenced, you know, in style.
And
compared to what the type songs he was writing as a 19-year-old. Of course, everybody grows musically and as an artist. But I think we've had a lot of influence on each other.
Right.
I was a straight-up Cajun boy from Eunice, Louisiana with... And he always laughed. He always said how I played differently than a lot of drummers because I play it from the swamps, you know, and there's a different feel and groove to that, especially noticeable in Colorado.
So,
I think we've both been a good influence to each other in our musical, you know, stylings.
And you learned how?
Man, I learned on some pillows in my bedroom. I would set up 5 pillows. We couldn't afford a drum kit.
Yeah.
So I finally broke down and bought a pair of sticks and when I was 8. And the first Christmas, Mom and Dad got a used kick drum, snare, and hi-hat that was for sale at Mark Savoy's, Savoy Music in Eunice. And every birthday or Christmas, I would get a different drum. They never matched.
So, and refresh my memory, where do you think that came from for you? I mean, at 8 years old,
I remember
laying those pillows out for drums, you know?
We had 5 kids all in the same class, same school, same neighborhood. We were our own little gang back in the day. And on a weekly basis, we'd come up with something that we would do. So we had decided we were going to start a band. And, of course, everybody's fathers in Eunice, Louisiana played some instrument. And I didn't speak up fast enough. My father played guitar and bass. He played with Rod Bernard and a bunch of cats back in the day. And I didn't speak up fast enough, so by default, I became the drummer. Really. For real.
Yeah.
But I was the only one that went forward on it and continued to start learning. By 8th grade, I had my first band put together. I was already managing a band in 8th grade. Promoting it and putting it out, and I haven't stopped since. Really.
See, and that's continued, that part for you, the promoting and...
Yeah, my business background comes into play a lot
with
the music.
Very nice. Yeah. Well, the other two members, Shannon and Justin, let's talk a bit about when the two of you joined this band. Was that from the onset of Double Wide, or how long the start? Justin, you want to start?
Well, I met Dave at the Delta Grand when I was playing with Joel Sonnier.
He was playing with
Chubby.
Okay, yeah,
at
yeah.
The Grammy party.
Yeah, at the Grammy party.
Yeah, that was that last year? No. How many years?
A couple of years.
2 years ago
right
now?
Right after we won the Grammy with Chubby.
Well, he called me to go play all the guitars. Got the session to play on the album. Really, really excited about that.
Yeah. When he described to you, though, had you heard the band prior, or did he just kind of describe what they were doing?
Good question. I was pleasantly surprised when I heard it for the first time. It was something way different, a different genre of country that I've never played before.
Yeah, yeah.
And it really it is really powerful, more powerful than most of the country that I've ever played. I got to kind of let loose on some of the rock and roll licks.
Yeah. What do you play?
Guitar.
What kind of guitar do you play?
Any guitar that stays in tune.
Yeah. I mean, you have a few different types that you switch back and forth between?
I have about 5 Telecasters, 4 Strats, a couple Les Pauls.
Yeah, so you have some guitars.
some old 80s Shredders guitars, a Jackson Soloist. It's got this really cool paint job of a sunset on the beach and the waves breaking over it. Just totally 80s.
Yeah, yeah. Yeah. How did music come into your life? How did you start playing?
My stepdad's mother got me a Sears guitar, little Sears, had the built-in speaker and everything on it, when I was about, I don't know, 5.
Okay.
5, and he had he was a drummer.
Yeah, yeah.
And, you know, later on took up bass, but he played drums mostly and had a good friend that was just an accomplished guitar player, my first teacher, by the name of Robert LaCroix over in Odessa, Texas, where I'm originally from. And, you know, started learning my first chords and scales about 2nd grade, kind of went on from there. And I'm a teacher now, so I know what it's like to work with 2nd graders.
Yeah, yeah. What do you teach, Justin?
I teach private guitar at Acadiana School of the Arts.
Oh, you do? Mm-hmm. Ah, okay. By Arena Drive?
Yes.
Is that okay? Yeah, yeah. Very nice. You teach both acoustic and electric?
Teach both acoustic, electric.
All styles?
I do have a degree in classical. I teach some classical, mostly rock. You know, a lot of kids, surprisingly, some of the younger kids really like, you know, the Led Zeppelin and Kiss and some of that kind of rock.
Yeah, and you know Dave Trainer? By chance? I don't know if you know Dave. Hey. He teaches music at CITE, and I used to work there here in Lafayette. And so many – and he teaches guitar too. And so many of the young kids that would come in were learning the songs that I grew up with, and I'm 54. And I remember asking him one day, like, is this coming from the parents? And he said on those Rock Hero or whatever, the Guitar Hero.
The Guitar Hero,
that's
yes.
That's where those kids are learning, you know, really learning that stuff and wanting to play it.
The real deal, the real guitar is a kind of an eye-opening experience for a kid that has mastered Guitar Hero, because they're nothing alike. They come in and,
I
have to move my fingers.
Yeah,
and
I'm gonna do that.
I actually have to have right-hand and left-hand coordination.
Right. But they know the songs. You know,
they do learn, know the
they
songs.
They learned the songs from that.
The AC/DC.
You know? Exactly.
Aerosmith.
Well, how'd you start playing with Joel Sonnier?
Joel, yeah, wonderful, wonderful guy.
Talented.
He's just legendary.
Yeah.
He's just a wonderful guy. I get the call. I don't know. Somebody gave him my number that he was looking for a more local guitarist, and I get the call. And we probably talked for 2 hours on the phone the first night and set up, went over there to his house, and we went over just hours and hours of music. And he's like, you know, that couch you're sitting on right there, Albert Lee was sitting on that couch working on my material. You know, I was like, well, let me scoot over.
Yeah. Okay, the bar's been set.
I'm not worthy. I'm not worthy.
It's okay, so then you started. Are you still playing with him?
I'm not right now.
Yeah.
He plays with a band called Double Wide.
Yeah.
That's right.
I know that, but sometimes people have other pickup gigs.
We don't allow it. No, I'm joking.
They're control
freaks.
We're
honored to have Justin.
Well, very cool. All right, Shannon. And you are from where originally?
I'm from here. Excuse me. Born in Biloxi. Grew up on the East Coast in Orlando. And spent time in San Diego skateboarding back in the day, but this is my home, Lafayette.
Were you skateboarding just for fun, or were you doing it as a...
That was my first job.
It was?
Yes, ma'am.
Tell us about that. What were you doing? I mean, were you like... were you competing? Or?
It's been so long.
Yeah.
Think about this.
Yeah, but were you competing, or were you doing promo stuff, or...
Yeah, we competed a lot up and down the East Coast. That's kind of where I gained all the notoriety and trophies, from Miami to D.C.
Wow.
Mm-hmm.
How old were you at that time?
17.
That's pretty mm-hmm. cool. Yeah.
The irony of Shannon being in Matt's band, Matt living in Rollins, Wyoming, his best friend had a Shannon May skateboard.
What is
the chances of him moving to Louisiana and playing music in a band
cool.
with Shannon?
Shannon, that's no, no. I didn't
that's
realize
pretty
that.
Big.
Yeah, I didn't realize that yeah, about you. That you were neat. At a point where you had things named after you.
Uh huh.
Wow.
I'm the mystery man.
Do you still skateboard?
I actually skated up here because I live not too far from here.
Yeah. That's a cool history. You're the first person I ever met who competed, you know, skateboard wise mm-hmm. and has a skateboard named after you.
We're gonna have in our merch booth, we're gonna have a Shannon May double wide board at one point, I promise you.
No, but that's a cool idea.
It is. That's we're gonna idea. Do it.
Double kick and double wide.
Double kick and double wide, that's right.
I love it. And so music came in. Were you playing music at that time?
Yeah.
Because those kind of go – I mean, that kind of goes together, that music culture.
It
and the
does.
Yeah.
Skateboarding and punk rock and, you know,
yeah.
Black Sabbath and all that stuff from the 70s and 80s. And but my family has a big musical background, so that was kind of always there.
Yeah. Can you tell us a little bit about the background?
Yeah. My dad's side, the May family band, which I learned to cut my teeth playing bass in honky-tonks with him. Everyone in the family plays, uncles, cousins, brother. And my grandfather owned the wagon wheel in Eunice in the 60s, okay. 70s. So, yeah. And my mom's dad, the Fontenot side from Ville Platte, he played Cajun French accordion. So it was always there.
Yeah. So then let's flip to the other side. How did the skateboarding come into that point? You know, did you just start skateboarding as a
– Well, it's kind of reverse. I started skateboarding first.
Yeah, yeah.
And when my knees couldn't take it, then you picked up the music.
Yeah. I mean, but that happens as we age, you know.
So creative outlet, you know.
Exactly. Huh, that's very cool, Shannon. You've got – Matt. Good job in putting together quite an interesting band.
Yeah, thank you.
Yeah, good job
thank you
with
very
that.
Much.
Well, let's.
It takes a while. That's the key. Is to, when you get a band together, is finding the guys that not only get along with each other, but are that also.
How did you meet Shannon?
Well, that's kind of a long story. But the first. When I first moved to town, everybody was telling me, I was like, well, you know, I tell people I played like country, rock kind of stuff, music, you know. And I kept hearing, dude, you should play with this. There's this guy named Shannon May. He should play with him, da, 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 blah, 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 blah. Shannon May. It's like, all right. I had his number in my wallet, and I had never been at a point to where I was putting together the band yet, you know.
Yeah.
So I was just kind of, his number was just kicking in my wallet. Then Dave... I mean, this was, a year ago, I guess?
No.
Three?
I was still playing with Chubby, probably.
Yeah. So at one point, Dave went out and saw the Roebucks play.
Rockabilly gig.
Wait, you played in the
I played a couple of bands.
Yeah. Okay.
Roebucks, Sideburner, Freetown Hounds, May Family Band.
Got it. Yeah. It's all – okay.
And so he saw him play, and he's like, man, I saw this guy playing the bass the other night. We should call him and try and get him. I was like, well, what's his name, you know? And he says, his name's Shannon May. And I was like – And I was like, well, really? He's like, no, he didn't. Dave didn't know his name, but
like
he had his
Shannon or something.
He had his number, and I was like, well, what's his number? And I looked in my wallet, and it was the same.
The guy you should have been calling.
I was like, all right, well, we need to call this guy.
Yeah.
Apparently, somewhere.
And it was a conference call from.
Yeah. Yeah, that's great.
So we called him, and then we started. That's how we met.
Yeah.
Oh, very cool. All right. Well, let's take a break here and listen to – you've just released your CD.
Right.
And it's called
– It's just Double Wide,
but it's Hard Country.
Yes.
Which we'll come back to that. Should we do the kickoff song? Should we do Spurs?
Sure.
All right. This is Double Wide and this is Spurs.
Hung up drinking whiskey. Hung up cocaine too. Hung up going downtown, defending what I thought was true. Hung up smoking Marlboro Red. Just smoke Marlboro Lights. I hung up hanging with them Saratoga boys, getting into fights, but I'll never hang up my spurs. Whiskey, oh whiskey, we dance.
doesn't get you going, I don't know what will. That is Spurs with my guest in the studio, Double Y. This is The Exchange on KRVS. And my guests in the studio today are Matt Thornton, Papa Puff, Dave Nizat, Shannon May, and Justin Lewis. So the four of you have been together for about how long now as a band?
That's a good question.
Since
like
December,
3 months?
I would say December.
Yeah.
Oh, okay, so not very long.
No, we just started putting this thing like tightly together.
Yeah. So the CD that we're listening to, and I want people to also check out, you can check out doublewidelive.com, their website, or also on Facebook, Double Wide Live, the same title. And in terms of people finding that CD through those websites, I mean, website and Facebook is the easiest thing.
Yeah, right. And we'd like to give a shout out to Kevin St. Marie from Live and Local Acadiana. He helped us build that link. He's hosting that link that allows the downloads.
And I'm curious, why did you decide to do the free download?
You know, Matt and I went back and forth many, many times on this, and we both have cases of CDs sitting in our closets, as every local band around has.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
You print out the 1,000, you sell 200, you give 150 away, and you have cases in your closet.
Yeah.
We didn't want this.
Yeah, yeah.
It wasn't a band. Matt moved back. I was playing with Chubby a lot. We were on the road, you know, 250 days a year. So we didn't have time. I couldn't really play out with him. So he would come to my studio, and we'd just start. It started on V drums and your acoustic guitar, just messing around.
Yeah.
And it kept growing. And as Corey Duplechin or all of my friends would come around, we'd throw tracks together, and it kept growing and growing. So we decided so that people can hear it, see it, taste it, feel it.
Got it.
We're just going to give it away.
Yeah.
We're going to infect them with the virus and do it online, downloadable. We're burning copies for shows, giving it away, but nothing fancy, nothing. It's just good old music on
It's
on
a great it's a great promotion, getting the word. I mean, it really is.
And then when the next record comes out, we're going to sell it.
Yeah, good.
But you'll be able to, if you haven't heard Double Wide yet, you will be able to download the original.
Very nice.
Get a taste of it, and then hopefully you like it enough to buy the new record.
Yeah, and it's great. When you go on Live and Local, the link off of their sites that leads you to that, it's pretty easy. There's a big cow.
And Kevin's a great guy.
Yeah.
That guy supports the local scene.
Yeah.
So great. And I wanted to give a shout out to him because he's done a whole lot of for us.
Yeah, very nice. Very nice. This CD, though, was in the works prior to the 3 months of you four being together.
Correct.
Two and a half years.
It's been almost 2 years.
Yeah.
Almost 2 years. For almost a year, it sat in a studio in Colorado, lost.
Ah.
And we didn't even know. I honestly didn't know where it was or what it was doing.
Yeah.
Then it became found again.
Yeah.
And we've been mixing it with Ivan Klesanin.
Yeah, very good.
He mixed it for us, and we've done it. It came alive, you know, it really did. And all the people that played on it, I mean, I can do nothing but thank them. It was an amazing experience. When I first got here, then everybody recorded here. I took it to Colorado. We recorded a bunch of stuff there, and then that's when the studio kind of lost it.
Yeah, yeah.
But then they found it, which was really cool. So,
and then after they found it, you've done a lot of tweaking and things since then, you know?
Yeah.
I mean, maybe it needed that time for some whatever reason.
Something,
you know?
Something happened.
It wasn't ready yet.
Yeah, yeah.
So now we've got it. And I mean, honestly, I'd like to just, if I could, thank everybody that played on it.
Oh,
like,
yeah, yeah, I mean, yeah. Who all did
Adam
you
Bodine,
have?
Jason Larson, Mike McGraw, Justin Lewis, who is here today. Johnny Hickman from Cracker, Bo Thomas.
How did that come? Let's back up a sec. How did that come about?
I met Johnny Hickman. He's one of the founding members of Cracker. He's the guitar player. He actually lives in Colorado.
In Fort Collins.
And I met him just when I was playing music there for so long. I met him. He borrowed my amp a couple times. I mean, he's just one of those guys, you know, that was just always hanging out, doing stuff.
Yeah.
And we were actually in the studio recording.
Backdoor.
Backdoor. And I said, man, I really need a harmonica on this. And I don't know. And I'm one of those – I cannot play a harmonica if you put it in my mouth. I can't do it.
Yeah.
It's just – I don't understand anything about it.
Yeah, yeah.
And the guy in the studio was like, hey, we'll just call Johnny. And I was like, yeah, he does it. So we called Johnny and he came in. You know, like the professional guy that he is, he walked in with this harmonica, played it, and walked out. And it took like 15 minutes.
The thing I loved about when Johnny walked in, the first question he had for Matt is, what were you thinking when you wrote the song? Like, what was your – where were you? And that was such a cool question. Usually you just walk in.
For him really get into it.
Yeah, exactly. Like, where were you at? Like, what's going on here?
What was the response? Do you remember? And this is Backdoor?
Yeah,
it's the song called Backdoor. And it's a song about, I don't know, when you're on the road, you're touring. Because Motorhome kind of toured a lot on the road and did a lot of stuff. And when you're on the road and it's the end of the night and you've always got to load up your stuff. And, I mean, any band, any guy that's ever been in a band, it's like there's people that are, you know, they're like, oh, you're in a band. It's great. You get to hang out with all those people and da 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 da. Well, it's never like that. You know, you always, at the end of the night, you got to load up your equipment, unless you're in a big, big, big band, which I've never been in yet.
Yeah, hopefully
we've got our fingers crossed.
There you go.
But you always got to load up your equipment. You have to put it in there, and then you're just sitting there in the bar that's empty at the end of the night.
Yeah.
And there's no one there, and you go home. You know, and that's kind of the way it is. And so I kind of wrote a song about that idea of like being in a band, being in a bar, everybody leaves. You played, but you never really get to, the party never really happens for you. You know, you do your work and then
that's right.
It's like, okay, see you guys, bye.
Yeah.
You know, like, so that's kind of what that was kind of the idea of that song. And
can we listen to that one?
Sure.
Yeah. See, so why we're in, I'm going to have you list off, though. I think you ended at Bo Thomas.
Oh, yeah. So we got Bo Thomas, Earl Sally, Corey Dubleshan, Chris.
That's Backdoor we're going to listen to, Cecil.
Chris French, Chris Stafford, Jerry Colley, Peter Knutson, and Ivan.
Ivan's on a track.
Yeah.
Very cool. All right. So this is featuring. Say the gentleman's name again from Cracker.
Johnny Hickman.
Yeah, Johnny Hickman. Okay, this is Backdoor and this is Double Wide.
The back door is open. The lights are all down. There's nobody screaming. 'Cause they've all gone home now. The beers that quit pouring. Out of their spine. The back door is open and they're kicking me out. But it's just another for me. nobody's trying to get in for free. But it's all the same across this great land.
My guest in the studio today, Double Wide, featuring Matt Thornton on vocals. This is KRVS 88.7 FM. We're on the web at krvs.org. Please check out our website, as we say each week. There are just it's incredible how many locally produced programs we have here out of the station, but also the national programs that we do bring in, and hats off to everybody who supports us during our fundraiser times and then just throughout the year. And you can listen to us all over the world, which is wonderful, and catch us on your vehicle. Good part of the lower part of the state and over into the Lake Charles area also, right here on the campus of University of Louisiana at Lafayette. My guest in the studio today with Double Wide, Matt Thornton, Papa Puff, Dave Nezat, Justin Lewis, and Shannon May. That was a beautiful song.
Thank you.
Know? I mean, about times that sometimes are beautiful and times that are you just so tired.
Right.
You know, when you live that kind of life.
Yeah.
Yeah, and the harmonica was absolutely fabulous on that song. The people that you listed off,
yeah,
that all played, those were folks that over this two-year period of time, whatever, that you just all of a sudden heard that, boy, they would fit on a song, or it was a combination of that, they just happened to be there? How did that come about? Because you've got quite a list.
It was that. And it was like I remember going to see what's his name?
Tab.
And
Benoit.
And seeing Corey Duble-Champlain and being like, dude, that guy's great. And Dave was like, well, I know him.
I sent you to see them to drop the CD right off. I'd already talked to Corey.
Ah, so you'd set it up.
I knew, yeah, Corey and I, because Corey played with Chubby for 13 or 14 years. Yeah. And then we did Blues Cruise together, and so I was seeing Corey a lot and talked to him about what this new project was, and he's like, man, I'd love to hear it. Let me check it out. So I sent Matt. I said, look, Tab's playing Downtown Alive. You need to go and drop this off to this dude named Corey.
I'm the guy that walks in the back of the stage, and there's all the, you know, the band standing there, and I'm this weird kid that walks up and says, hey, I was supposed to give this to somebody named Corey. You know, that awkward moment.
Yeah,
here's my CD, dude.
Yeah,
I hope you like it. But they liked it, and it was that, and it worked, you know. And I remember seeing Roddy Romero, and we needed a stand-up bass, and I remember seeing Roddy Romero at the Blue Moon, you know, and since I moved here, I thought that Chris French is one of the best, one of the coolest bass players. Like, he's just really good, you know, just talented guy. And that's a great band. Like, that's a hot band.
Yeah.
You know? And I was like, I was super honored to have him because he plays the stand-up, you know?
Yeah.
So we had him do that. And it was just kind of that kind of thing where you're just kind of going around and seeing these people. And then when I went to Colorado, I had a bunch of my friends from there play too, you know?
Yeah.
So it was just – it was – and it, what came out of it is just great, you know?
You know, it's interesting for – I'm going to just focus on the two of you for right now, Dave and Matt. But it's interesting listening to you and watch the interaction. Why do you think it works with the two of you? Because you've been together a while.
Because we figured out what we do best. Like, I take care of my end of what I do. Matt takes care of his end. And we don't we meet in the middle and discuss it the time.
Yeah.
But we've gotten good at doing what we do. And I think our business model as a band has worked. We've proven that in several different occasions.
Yeah.
But I think we're a good team.
Yeah, yeah.
You know, he writes killer music, which as a promoter, as a guy that puts marketing guy, I mean, give me a good product, I can sell it.
That's right.
So, our friendship.
I don't have that at all. Right. You know, I can't do that at all.
You just described the nervous kid walking. You know, that's the interesting thing. Here you've got a guy here who's pretty darn good.
Right.
Just, you know, talking about it right now.
Right.
And you know,
I can't do that. I write a song and then that's it.
Yeah.
So we've
done.
Been a
Your
good team.
Done.
And,
that's right.
And we've realized our weaknesses and our strengths. And I think we put that into play very well.
Yeah. That's really nice. And it's fun to watch you two in here because that comes out real strong, you know, where those strengths lie. Shannon, why was this band an interesting one for you to join?
Let me extend the last topic of these two. Coming in as a new insider on the outside, I realized how great they work together. And the stuff that Dave is doing and setting up, I said, hey, whatever you're doing, keep doing it because it's working. And Matt, thank you so much for having me. And Justin, love your company. Guitar playing is killer. And what was the question again?
it was there, but I mean, it's just like, what was it that made you want to be a part of this, of what's happening with this band?
I'm a huge fan of hard, heavy country music.
Okay.
And it's a kick butt.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
And it's one of those three-dimensional things where the song's good, the drums are good, the crowd's into it, and it just feeds and works off of itself.
And it's original music.
And it's completely original.
See, that's an important piece.
I think so.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That's right. And what's that, Justin?
It's a lot of fun to play.
Yeah, yeah. You've been with the band for about 3 months also?
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
Yes.
And what is it with this band that keeps you kind of hanging in there right now? And boy, we got these gigs coming up. We got a new CD that we're working on.
Well, it's just, as you can tell, we have a lot of fun together. And because
that's important.
Yes, it's a lot of, it really is important, loving what you do. Sometimes it does feel like a job, you know, when you have to, drive to Texas, go to Florida sometimes, but you have to love what you do. And it's the company you're with and everybody in the band that you're with makes a huge difference, makes it so much easier. They're such good guys, and we have so much fun.
Yeah, because I think just in that song that we listened to, I mean, when that really describes the reality of what it's like to, you know, to play in a band. I mean, that camaraderie amongst the folks doing it has a lot to do with the band.
It's not as glamorous as they think.
No, it's not. Right.
There's a lot of long hours.
Hey, I've been there hauling amps and stuff. Yeah.
I mean, really, it's work up until the point you walk on that stage and work should end. And then it becomes fun.
Yeah,
and then 2 hours later, work begins again.
That's
and it
right.
doesn't really stop until you get back on that stage again.
That's right.
Because the work between promoting, driving, loading and unloading gear, I mean, all of that.
Yeah.
It's the glamour is not there except for the 2 hours that everybody sees us.
That's right.
And think it's such a great glamorous job. Yeah. It's a dirty job.
Go ahead, Justin.
And the musical freedom that that we all have with the music.
Yeah, see, so that's something you feel in this band.
Yes.
Yeah, see, that's a
total
good.
Total freedom. Yeah. Total music, total freedom to go in any explore any direction I want on the instrument.
See, and I think some of that, Matt, goes back to you as the songwriter in that you allow people, you know, that sense of freedom to.
Right. Well, I've learned that over the years that sometimes there's times where you need to be, okay, this needs to be this way, this needs to be this way, this needs to be this way. And then there's other times where you don't.
Yeah, yeah.
And it makes, you know, because now it's just it makes everyone vested in it,
mm-hmm.
and it makes everyone and also it's like I'm not going to think of the best ideas. You know, four heads are better than one kind
mm-hmm.
of thing. You know, there's
yep.
never – I'm not going to be like, oh, this is the way it is, da-da-da-da-da, because I'm not that talented, I guess, if that's what you want to call it. You know, I'm not that – I don't have that kind of proficiency on my instrument to do what he does. I can't do that.
Yeah.
I can't play that.
Yeah. And I think sometimes it's not always just about you're not that talented, but that everybody has
the recipe.
That's right.
Right.
Everybody has their own.
Mm-hmm.
That's
right.
Right.
And everybody has their own place. And that's something too when you get a band together. It's
that's
like
a fun
everyone
thing.
Knowing, okay, look, this is my job and this is what I need to do.
Yeah.
And like, this is, and everybody here knows, like, okay, this is what we need to do to get this done, to get the song across as the way it should be. You
that's
know?
Right.
And which is the best thing you could, as a songwriter, is the best thing you could, you know, think of.
Yeah.
You know? It's awesome.
The song Guns.
Yes.
Tell us about that song. What's that about? How did that one come together? I don't know if that was – you looked either like little boy excitement or a mad scientist.
Well,
it's
one of those songs that it has a kind of a religious thing going on.
Okay.
So it's one of those songs where it's like, okay, it's like I've always had – I've never been a really religious person myself. But it's always been around. You know, you always have that there. That's just growing up in America. There's the whole thing of, like, people think, like, there's all this bad stuff in the world and there's all this good stuff in the world. But they don't want to cross those things. You know, nobody ever wants to say, look, if God made this thing that's really cool, he's had to make this. If you believe, he made the bad thing too, you know. So, and I think that's always been like one of those things, and I think it's in a lot of people's heads
mm-hmm.
that it's like you can't have one without the other. It's the yin and yang kind of thing,
sure,
you know.
Yeah, yeah.
And I think that's when I wrote this song is like, look, you read in the paper every day about gun. Something with guns, and these people want guns, these people don't want guns, and da 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 da. And it's like, well, look, man, everything you have to, it's the balance of everything, you
yeah.
know, and it's the same, it's that kind of thing. And that's where this song kind of comes from. It's like, well, if you believe this, you have to believe this, you have to believe this too.
All
you
right.
can't leave this aside, you know. So, and that's kind of where that's kind of where that song goes, came from.
Very good. Let's listen to this is Double Wide and this is Guns.
He touched a snake and I'm
That was Guns with our guest today in the studio, Double Wide. At the end,